This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on March 17, 2026 in Millersburg, Ohio.
All right, thank you for that introduction, Edward. I'm glad to be here with you all today. This subject of partnerships was a kind of a difficult one for me to work through, and I think I'm working through it. Forming some new opinions, changing some ideas, and willing to share what I've learned through my journeys in life. Now, Edward mentioned that I'm currently in a business partnership with two of my brothers and have been for 20 years, and that's true. Before that, there were six of us brothers that I was in partnership with in construction and mostly in residential remodeling. We built a few houses. So that was my early life. But the last 20 years have been with my brothers Dave and Andy in a bakery at a bulk food store. And so some of the experiences I've had come from that. And I'm still working, it's still a work in progress. As all of you who are in business and a partnership know, there's nothing that you can set in place and it just stays that way forever. It's fluid, it changes, and we need to adapt with that. I've been a business advisor for about a year and a half too. And sometimes I see partnerships that are good. Sometimes I see some that could use some work. And I'm guessing you all are in that stage. And one thing I've noticed in the little bit that I've done business advising is that my clients take my word to be truth, like gospel, like King James Version gospel. And I want you to remember that I'm speaking from my heart and my experience, and it's not all accurate. It may not apply to you, but I'll try to be honest and truthful and not share anything that's wrong or deceitful. It's a time that we can learn from each other at these business seminars. When I talked about this, my family said, we have got two sons and a daughter. I've got all my brothers and three sisters. And some of them said, well, what are you going to say? Are partnerships good? And I said, I don't know. We've had some struggles with our partnership. But the more I look at it, the more I think it's been good. There's been things that could have been better. And some of my family says, no, you shouldn't have partnerships. No, no, no. And so I said, what do I share with the people here today? And so I sent out a question to the advisors group. I said, are partnerships good? And so this is what came back. Partnerships are good if. Now they could have said partnerships are good if constant conflict is what you enjoy, if that's what gets you going. I met a man once, and he talked about in church life. He moved from a community, and he said, "I just miss the conflict," and I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "The Christian's life is not meant for conflict." But he missed the conflict. They could have said, "Partnerships are good if you're looking for financial ruin." Sometimes that happens. Your partner ruins everything. They could have said partnerships are good if you are wanting to double the stress in your marriage. Sometimes they do that. But that's not what they said. They said partnerships are good if there is a clear written chain of command and duties. If everything is clear and open, then you can have a good partnership. That's one. And it should be written. I have a list here that I'm going to mention. Partnerships are good if there is lots of good, clear communication. And that's lacking sometimes. I'm just going to talk about our partnership some because that's what I'm most involved with. And that's one thing that lacked in ours. We work in the same building. We kind of had three departments. My brother Dave runs the bakery. My brother Andy takes care of a lot of the orders and maybe the deli area and different things. And I take care of the money, and I had taken care of some other things in the past. And so every day we worked in the same building, but we didn't have a lot of good, clear communication like we should have. Still don't. Weekly meetings, you know, what's going good and what's not so good and what could be changed and what should be changed and which direction are we going. But somebody said, you've been together 20 years, so it must be a good partnership. And I guess it is. We'll leave it at that. Partnerships are good if you treat your partners like you would like to be treated. And we remember that. We've all been taught the golden rule that do unto others as you would have them do to you. So remember that. And sometimes that's a little difficult to do. Sometimes we try to do it. I've loved to travel, to get out. I didn't go into work the same place every day for the rest of my life wasn't what I enjoy. I and my wife enjoy traveling and getting out and new experiences, and so I've done some of that. My brother Andy, he loves to go the same place to work every day, do the same things the same way. And so I've tried to get him to say, hey, let's be equal here. I go for a day and you go travel. He'd rather go to work than travel. And so we've come to accept that, and we've learned to work it out. Partnerships are good if the majority owner doesn't use it to his advantage. I'll cover this a few different times, but sometimes you see a new business being formed, a partnership, and they say, well, we're going to form it as a 51-49 partnership. That way we know who's got the final say. And I think in a partnership, it's important to know who has the final say, but I'm not sure it's the 51-49 that does that. If you get into that mindset, that 51 may always push his way instead of learning to work with 49. A partnership is good if all the partners work for the good of the partnership. And we remember, we're a company, we're together. We're all working toward this same goal. And if I'm working so that I can have the money I want, and he's working so he can have the money he wants and do what he wants, it doesn't go as good. So we need to remember that we're all here for the good of the company, and that is our goal. And the sixth one I have is a partnership is good if the power of love is greater than the love of power. Some people seem to just love power. I haven't understood that. It's not for me, but some people love power, and we need to remember that love is greater than power. I thought about this, that partnerships are similar to marriage. Most of you, I'm guessing, are married. So you'll understand some of these things that I have to say. One difference right up front between marriage and partnerships is that God created marriage. In the beginning, God created marriage, and he gave us the Bible, his word, and he said, this is how you do in a marriage. This is what makes it work. God didn't create business partnerships. His word has some guidelines in it to tell us how to live, but we need to remember that business partnerships are not instituted by God like marriage is. There will always be business partnerships. It's just the way it is. There will always be, as long as there's men and women, there will be unions between a man and a woman. Now, today's world, there's a lot of unions that aren't marriages. Those unions aren't endorsed by God, but they still happen. And same as a kind of a bad partnership, maybe. A cohabitation is like a bad partnership, maybe. It creates a lot of trouble, and we don't want that in life. In creating a partnership, some of us are in partnership, some of us think maybe we'd like to have a partnership. Choosing our partner is really important. There was a song back in the 80s and 90s. It wasn't a Christian song, but it said, "I've got the brawn, the muscles, you've got the brains, we'll make lots of money." I'm not sure what the message of the song was, but that stuck in my mind. And sometimes we think of that makes a good partnership. I've got the brains, you've got the muscle, we'll just put it together and it'll work. And sometimes it does. But I think we need to take a little more care than that. When you are choosing your partner, your wife or husband, you often dated for a year or more. Some of it was a long time. Some of us didn't even marry the first person we dated, which is okay. We just said, you know, I don't think it's for us. And sometimes I think we should do that a little more with business partnerships. I just recently, there was one asked me for some advice, and they just formed. They said, "Hey, this is a need, and we think he's got that, and I've got this, and we're going to just form." And they hadn't worked together much at all or even known each other a lot. And I don't know how it's going to work out. As far as I know, it's a few months old and it's okay. But I think it's good to spend more time in the courtship phase. A lot of us form a partnership with our family members, which we've known them for a long time. Some of us do something with brand new, and I think we should be careful in that and spend some time. Leah mentioned these personality tests, and maybe that could be one tool we use to say, are we compatible? Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but it could be something you use. If both of you are real go-getters and just have a real drive to do hard work, you might need somebody else to offset that takes care of taking it easy and getting the finances and make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's crossed and work together. But it takes some working together, and you'll be doing that your whole life. And so choosing your partner is really important. Now we get to tying the knot. We get married, and you know, it doesn't take much to get married, a man and a woman. It takes a little bit of paperwork, a license, a few qualified people to listen to your marriage vows, and you're set to go. It doesn't take much. But while it's not difficult, it's a very binding because of it being God's plan. So we spend a lot of money and time and inviting people and making invitations and having a big day, but it doesn't take much to get married. It doesn't take a whole lot more to begin a business either. Now, business is not quite as sacred as marriage. But there's some things in a business when you're getting started, and some of these, if you're alert, might indicate that maybe we're not compatible after all. One of the first things that comes up is choosing a name for your business. You have to decide who contributes what. When we started our store, we three brothers all contributed everything we owned. That was a pretty maybe different times. We went to the bank and we said, we need $550,000 to build a store. And they said, wait a minute here, we need more than that. And so they needed the collateral from each of our real estates. And so we pledged it all to begin this. And it worked out okay, worked out good. But tying the knot is important. There's some legal documents, and we'll cover a few more of those legal documents a little later. One of them, yes, we'll just cover that a little later. The next slide is just kind of blah. It's married life. But that's what happens. Once we get married, we have hopefully a long period of married life, and we learn a lot of things during that time. Those first years are tight. There's not much money there, usually. And we learn to work together with our new companion. And the business partnership is that way, too. There's lots of time spent in learning how to work together. Communication plays a huge part in this again. It does throughout the entire business, throughout the entire life of the partnership, this communication. I'm going to keep coming back to that because that's most important, is communication and talking things out. That's part of the difference between a good one and a bad one. We learn to work together. We leave our parents. In a business, we leave our former employees, maybe, and what we learn, we leave our former employers. Sometimes we say, hey, we did this here, and we're going to do it different, or left that, and we're going to do it different. Sometimes we want to do it the same. One example of that is soon after we were married, we lived in an old house, and we wanted some, we were remodeling this old house, and we bought some, at a yard sale maybe, bought some wallpaper to put in this bedroom of ours that we had redone the walls. And my mom came by and she said, she doesn't really think we should put that wallpaper up there. It's a little too fancy. And I kind of followed my mom. We didn't put it up there. That was really hard for my wife. It wasn't anything that, it was just more that I listened to mom more than my wife, or what I knew was right. And that wasn't so good. Later we built a new house, and we used that wallpaper in a new house, and it was okay. I'd learned a few things by then. But remember, once you're a partnership, you're doing things together, whether it's in a marriage or a business partnership. Later, children join the family, and when that's similar to having employees join your family, your business partnership. And that's often where really a lot of conflicts come in. Once it starts growing, we figure out how do we do these things together. But it's important to learn to work it out. Sometimes in a partnership, things come up from long ago. This was in a family partnership when there were six of us brothers. We built a spec house, and we lost money on the project. Pretty good money for a lot of reasons. And so that business partnership dissolved because some moved away. We three moved to a new community. 25 years later, I am in the partnership with two of my brothers, and we're making money, we're doing good, but something comes up, and my one brother says, we don't quite trust you because back at Laurel Ridge, that spec house, you didn't figure it quite right. Don't do that. That's old, that's back there, but that can happen in a partnership. It can, you never know what festers, but if you have open communication, it can come out. I'd like to think about this last one of marriage. We are married till death do us part. And I don't think any of you have an exit plan for your marriage. I hope not. I hope not. There are some things that you want to do, though. My wife bought this book for me. It's called A Peace of Mind Planner. And it has things to write in so people know what to do when I die. I haven't started yet. I don't want to think about dying. It even tells you what the people left behind, what to do with my pet. It's pretty detailed. And I don't know there, but marriage is till death do us part. Our partnerships are not. However, there's a lot of things that we need to cover so that it doesn't get ugly. Most partnerships get ugly at the time of parting, and we want to make sure that things are right so that they don't get ugly at that time. And that's done at the beginning. And I'd like to focus on that a little bit. One of those documents that you have at the beginning, at the marriage, when you start, is an operating agreement. That tells you how you're going to operate, who's going to do what happens if, and some of that operating agreement has an exit strategy. And that is something that a lot of people don't give enough thought to. And when you go to your attorney for an operating agreement, he may give you a standard operating agreement, and that's okay, it's better than nothing. But really, you should go through that, and you should, with your attorney and with your partners, say, what happens if? Because there's a lot of ifs happen in a partnership, and you need to get that figured out before you get very far along. What if I die? What if I die suddenly? What happens to my third of the ownership of this company? Figure that out. What if one of the other partners dies? Or what if both I and my wife die at the same time? What happens to our third of the business? What about one of the brothers leaves the faith? We all have faith. What if one of the other brothers leaves the faith? Maybe he divorces his wife and leaves. Now what? What do we do? What if you want to kick out one of the partners? What if there's three of you and one of you is just a real pain and you want to kick him out? How do you do that? How do you dismiss a partner? Those things ought to all be thought about and covered in this operating agreement, because they do happen. And your attorney can write that in. He can make it so it's legal and it works good and looks good and covers most of it. Sometimes there's things that come up that are unexpected. But on that operating agreement, have your attorney go through it with you, sentence by sentence. Make sure you understand what it's there. And if there's something you want in there that's not there, he can put it in. Put it in there. But all of you work together to get this going, because an exit is often where things go wrong. One thing, part of this agreement is to every year, to have a meeting to review it and just let all the partners know that if they're thinking of leaving or want to leave, it's okay. Sometimes we'd never tell our wife it's okay if you want to leave, you know. But a business partner, we can. We can say, you know what, this was here for a while and it's been a good run. But if you want to leave, it's okay. And you know, this is how we do it. And maybe every year you calculate the figures and say, this is how we're going to do it. And it's okay. If we want to stay together, it's fine. Someone wants to leave, it's fine, but this is how we do it. And that's all in the operating agreement. So the exit plan is very important. It's one thing you didn't do when you got married, but when you form a partnership, exit plan is really important. We'll look at some good partnerships here. Some benefits. As I mentioned earlier, one of them was it took all our money, us three brothers, took all our money to get this business up and off the ground. Took money. It also took all our resources. We three brothers each had a wife. We had some little children, and maybe this tall. And they really helped. We were a family operation. We all worked together, and made that work. It reduces the risk in a lot of decisions. When you have three people putting their heads together and coming up with something, it's often really good. There's a new book out by Andrew M. Troyer called Learning the Ropes. And I'd like to read a little bit out of that he wrote. He was not in a partnership with anyone except his wife. If any of you know Rope Andy, why, you'll understand this a little bit. It said, the business owner's wife can be such a great help. That was my wife, Lena. I know God created her just for me. I don't have much of a governor. Lena was born with a double one. When I saw something, I saw a semi-load. Here comes Lena asking in just a kind and caring way, are you sure you want to do that? That really helped me to make more balanced decisions. I'm certainly sure I would have overshot too many times had it not been for Lena. Today I credit her more for our success in business than for what I did. That's Uncle Andy talking about his wife, and that's often the way a business partner is. We sometimes want to get a semi-load, and our partner says, wait a minute, we don't have money for it, or are you sure we shouldn't just get a little truckload? And you can all work together for doing it. That's a good partnership. Another benefit of a good partnership is that the world sees us. It's amazing how many people are amazed by three brothers working together for 20 years and not having a huge fight or something terribly go wrong. And we can show working together and love to the community with a good partnership. There's also this thing of 1 + 2 usually equals 3, but in a partnership it sometimes equals 4 or 5. There's just multiplied strength in working together in a good partnership. Some of the things we do to maintain that good partnership, again, is we have clear communication. And we know who's in charge. We know which brother does this, which brother does that, and we talk about it and we work together. And sometimes, over the course of 20 years, some things will change and we need to be open to that. But we need to talk it through. We need to be willing to talk about difficult things. Sometimes that's hard to do, to talk about difficult things. Sometimes things may come up, if we're married, maybe even with our wives, and issues that come into play in that. And we need to be open to talking about that and getting it resolved. A good partnership will face issues, discuss them, and do appropriate actions to take care of it. Sometimes you can just talk about something and leave it lay and talk about something again. That's kind of a bad partnership. One other thing in a good partnership to remember is sometimes we need to wear different hats. In my partnership, we're owners. We three brothers are equal owners. We're all kind of managers of departments there. We're also sometimes just plain old workers there. We work there all the time. And so it's been hard for some to remember that this part of the business meeting, I'm an owner. And oh, now we got to talk about something else. But now we're just a manager of my department, so we put on a different hat. And we remember that. Some businesses are structured different, and so it's easy to do that. But we need to remember to wear the right hat at the right time. And one thing to remember is that you might not want to do everything together. Sometimes when it's family partnerships, it just seems like you vacation together, you get together Sunday nights for time, and you work together, and you do all that. I would suggest to have a little spread out a little bit. And that will keep the partnership good. We'll talk about a bad. Sometimes I don't know where this line is between good and bad and ugly. But a bad partnership, I'm going to say Amish because it's Schwetzadeitsch. They have this partnership of, this joke about partnerships as mir schaffen Schias, Schias Avat nicht die Greek Schias Geld. And sometimes we're that way. He does most of the work and I get most of the money, and we're all good with that. That's kind of a bad way to look at it, really. And I shirk my duty in a when there's three of you, you can sometimes let the other guy do it. And that's tending toward a bad partnership when that's again where I'm just getting the good out of it for me. What's in it for me? And another thing that happens in a bad partnership is realizing or knowing we're making a lot of money today. And so I'm going to line my pockets today. A good partnership looks into the future and says, what are we doing so this can continue? Bad partnership looks at today. And that's true for any business, whether it's a partnership or not. Some of the actions that happen with a bad partnership are there's no written separation of duties. We just all help each other. And that's really nice to think about, that we'll just all help each other. Wherever one sees a need, he runs and does that. This one does that. And if we see it's not covered, we'll go over there and do that. And we'll all work together. And that's good sometimes. But really, there needs to be a separation of duties. And we say, hey, this isn't done. And we say, Dave, why isn't it done? Because it's your job. Another bad one may be all pay is equal, regardless of the time worked. We did that for quite a while. My brother Dave is a bishop in our church, and I like to do, I did some volunteer things with a search and rescue and a few other things. Andy was always there because he wanted to be. And we paid ourselves equally. A few years ago, we changed that. We said, this isn't really fair. So we're now pay each other for the time that we actually spend at work. And then the profits we distribute equally. There was another business I asked, what do you have to think about? And he said, well, trust is huge. In a partnership, trust is really huge. And he said, once I asked my brother, this was the working brother, another was the money brother. He said, I asked the money brother, I said, I'd like to see some figures here in the books and what we're doing. He said, well, don't you trust me? And he said, that was a bad thing to say. He says, I trusted him, but that threw up red flags when he wanted to see the numbers, and he says, don't you trust me? I think we need to be open with everybody. When there's some mistrust starting to build, that's a bad partnership. Some other bad partnerships are when children are made partners for tax benefits. When you just give your children some partnership shares and say, oh, now they're a partner. That's a bad partnership. That's really bad. It creates all kinds of struggles down the road, and it's not a true business partnership. That makes it really ugly. Sometimes you have workers, and you think, oh, they would work better if they were partners. And so you make workers partners so they work better, have some skin in the game. That doesn't do so good either. That makes for poor partnerships. And the last one, in a bad one, is that difficult things are just ignored. When a partnership ignores problems and then hoping that in a year it'll resolve itself, that doesn't work either. That doesn't work either. Sometimes we see ugly ones. There are some really ugly partnerships out there. Sometimes they're just losing money and they don't know it. They intentionally don't go to work at the same time as their other brother does, so they don't see him. That's ugly. When and they start embezzling. They start cheating the company intentionally. They figure out a way to... He takes care of paying the credit card bill. He has it. They have a Cabela's card, and he gets all the Cabela's points. That's kind of ugly when he doesn't share the Cabela's points with the partners. Sometimes there's a partnership with dad and the sons, and it gets bad when dad's almost gone, dying maybe. He's old, and he does nothing about fixing it or transferring the partnership to the sons where it should belong. That gets really bad. Family relationships are ruined. It can get that way in a family partnership, and that's bad. And sometimes the pile of money is dwindling. Everybody knows it, but they think, I think that pile will last till I retire. And that's a bad, really bad, ugly partnership. We're in it only for the money. And we ignore each other. And often our employees may start leaving at that time because it's getting really, really ugly. And we want to, if we do things the right way at the beginning, it won't happen. And again, communication and talking things through when something comes up, and we keep it talked up, we keep our paperwork up to date, and knowing what we're doing is really good. Sometimes you may need an outside influence advisor to come in and help you with that, but it can all be done. If you're in an ugly relationship, partnership, or even a bad one, I'd like to close with a picture called Hope, and say there's hope for it, even if it's not gone the way you would like for it to be. This picture, it's a picture of a painting, so it's not overly clear, called Salute of Honor by Mort Kunstler. And the story I have with this picture comes from the book The Last Full Measure by Jeff Sciara. Jeff Sciara writes history books. They're called fiction because he puts words and thoughts into people's minds that aren't necessarily there. He assumes they are. The events are real, but he puts thoughts and words that aren't recorded. And I'd like to think of this. This was a Civil War. The Civil War was a partnership that went really, really ugly. We all know that there were states. We'll say the states were the partners. And things came up, and instead of being able to work out, it got so ugly that they had a war, and they started killing each other. And the Civil War was one of the awfulest wars, in my opinion, that there were, because it was really... Any human life is, killing any human life is bad. But when you get to brothers, it is really bad. And sometimes there's businesses that, partnerships that we feel are almost in a civil war, and people are destroying each other. And that can happen. So that's what happened here. But now, at the time of this picture, we had a winner and a loser. We had the North and the South. And the North, because of various reasons, had won. They were the winners. The South were the losers. On April 9, in Virginia, Lee signed the terms of surrender. And right away, in a few minutes, word got out that the South has surrendered. And the North started celebrating. They shot their cannons, and they were whooping and General Grant said, whoa. He said, stop. He says, this is foolishness. He says, they don't need us to tell them they lost and we're the winners. And I think that's pretty important. I admire him for that. They don't need to be told they are beaten. They do not need us to tell them that we have won. And I think that's part of restoration, is not playing up that winner and loser part. 2 days later, they had this ceremony they called receiving of arms. This man on the horse is General Joshua Chamberlain. And this was a ceremony they had. I'm looking at a picture here so I can talk about it. Of the South bringing their guns, their ammunition, and they put it on a pile there to say, we're finished, we're going home in peace. Now the men on the right are standing in a special way. It's called a salute of honor. So there, and the that command was given, they called it carry arms. According to this book, they called it carry arms, and so they're standing in a way of honor. And I'm going to read from the book how this came to be, but that's the background of this story. And there's some redemption in this. So Chamberlain glanced to the men beside him, his men there on the north. He was on his horse. And there was the stars and stripes fluttering in the wind. Chamberlain saw the faces of the men of the South again. And they were looking up at the flag too. And he thought, yes, it is still yours. It has always been yours. Despite all you have done, all of the death and horror, the anger and hatred, you have proven you will fight and die for something that you believe in. That is exactly what this flag means and has always meant. Sometimes there's just so much misunderstanding in a partnership that's gone bad. But when we realize it, we can say, you know what? We weren't that far apart after all. If only we would have talked and we would have worked it out, we wouldn't have had all this destruction. He saw more faces looking up. There were still some angry glances, the fight not yet out of all of them. And Chamberlain thought, well, that might be a good thing. It will take another kind of fight, a different strength now to pull us together to mend what this war has done. They still have the strength, the will, and there is great value in that for all of us, for the country, for the future. We are blessed by that. We are blessed that we can welcome them back, that we are all again under one flag. So he decided to give a salute, a command for a salute. He did not hesitate. He said, carry arms. And the men looked at him and said, what are you doing? And he said, no, carry arms. And so they did this salute. They understood. They all knew what the order meant, that the killing anger, the hatred, the blind violence of the beast was gone. And the men who stood face to face were brothers after all. I think that's one thing we come to realize, that we're all brothers, that we're all in this together, and that their redemption can be done. And the sad thing about this is that 2 days later, Abraham Lincoln, the president, was killed. I think if he would have stayed president, he would have had it all worked together, could have maybe got the country going, but it didn't happen. 2 days later, Abraham Lincoln was gone. And with it, the chances of reconciliation were kind of down. But remember this, while there's still life and you're together, there's hope for reconciliation. And if your partnership's gone bad, I trust you can get it back together.